Okay, we begin a new series today called The Influence of a Godly Life, The Wonderful Influence of a Godly Life. And as a Christian, you have the great privilege of allowing Jesus Christ to lead your life. Where does he lead me as a Christian? Well, he leads me where he's already gone. He leads me in paths of righteousness. He has righteousness. He has fulfilled all righteousness. He leads me beside still waters. Peace. He's the Lord of peace. He has it, so he can give it to you. And the place of refreshment, of joy, that is already his, he passes on to us. And even when I walk through the valley of death, I am safe because he's walking with me. And death is a place where he has already gone, because he has passed through death in victory. So he's able, because of that, he's able to lead me through it. And beyond that, he will lead me into glory, where he's already seated at the right hand of the Father. So the goal of Jesus Christ's life was not only that he should enter heaven, but that he should take a great number of people from every tongue, from every tribe, and from every nation with him. And as we reflect on these words, and as we look at the way that Jesus leads us, it leads us to this definition of leadership. That leaders are people who set out on a journey and who take others with them. Leaders are people who set out on a journey and take others with them. And Jesus has done this through his incarnation, through his crucifixion, his resurrection, and his ascension. He's set out on a journey and he's gone through that range of things that I've mentioned, and he will take us with him on that journey as well as we yield to him. But I want to notice that there's two parts to this definition of leadership. First, that leaders are people who set out on a journey. Leaders can only take others in the direction that they're already traveling. You cannot lead another person to a place where you're not going yourself. You have to be heading and going somewhere. So godly leadership doesn't actually begin with gifts. It actually begins with direction. What direction is the leader going? So where are you going? Where are you in your journey this morning as a leader? You may not think you're a leader, but we'll come to that in a moment. And secondly, leaders are people who take others with them. A man called D.E. Ho said, "It occurs to me that perhaps the best test of whether one is a qualified leader is to find out whether anyone is following them." So leaders are people who set out on a journey. There's movement, there's a direction in the leader's life. Others see and they're attracted to them and to the direction. And the leader then takes others with them on that journey. So it follows from this that there are three ways in which leaders most commonly fail. I'll give you three. There's more, but I'll give you three. And if you think about leadership failures that you've seen or have heard of, you may find that they fit into one of these three categories this morning. First of all, leadership fails when a leader is not on the move. They're not moving forward at all. They're not journeying forward. There's no direction. So the man or woman who's not going anywhere is not a leader. And this can be true in our own homes. If you're a father or a mother and you believe certain things, but there's no evidence of growth in your life as a believer, your children see this and they're not inspired to follow because your faith is not actually going anywhere. So they're not inspired to lead. You're not going, moving forward in this journey. There's no evidence of purpose in your life. So leadership fails in that respect. Leadership fails when a leader is heading in a wrong direction. Adolf Hitler was an outstanding leader. Many followed him. Millions followed him. But he chose completely and utterly the wrong direction. Satan himself has remarkable leadership qualities. A third of the angels of heaven followed him in his rebellion against Almighty God. Satan is an outstanding leader. He's always leading people into sin, always leading people in the wrong direction. So it's easy to be impressed with style and charisma and the charisma of a person's walk, and to focus our attention on that rather than the direction of their journey. One job advert for a kids pastor reads the following. We're looking for a Pied Piper for kids. Well, that's all well and good, but if you know the story of the Pied Piper drew many children to him. They followed him. But at the end of the story, the Pied Piper led the kids off the edge of a cliff. So you don't want to trust your kids to the Pied Piper. He's wonderfully magnetic in his personality, but he's leading in the wrong direction, over a cliff. Now, of course, we need to look at gifts at leadership. I'm not saying we shouldn't. Of course we should. The gifts of leadership matter. Personality matters, of course. But the first question is not necessarily the style of a person's walk, but the direction of their journey and where they will take their followers. That's what matters when we're thinking spiritually. Where is this person leading us? Where is he taking us? And we need to know that, we need to be clear about that, particularly in our current age, particularly in the church, where the church is allowing all manner of things from the world to seep in. And increasingly, it's looking more like the world than offering some people an alternative to the things of the world. So leaders are people who set out on a journey and take others with them. And as we set out on a journey in this series, I want you to consider three things. Who could you take with you? Coming back to what I said earlier, some of you may be thinking, oh, this whole series would have leadership involved in it in some shape or form. But that doesn't have anything to do with me because I'm not a leader. I don't lead anything. I'm the kind of person who prefers to stay quietly in the background. I'm very unassuming. But the first thing I want to remind you, if that's what you're thinking this morning, is that the Word of God is for everyone. It's for everyone. And I want to remind you that God has placed you at the center of a circle of influence, whether you realize it or not this morning. All of us will have influence in the following areas. I'm going to show you this. You'll have an area of influence with your friends, your family, in the workplace, in your church, in the church that you worship. You will have influence, whether you realize it or not. So when you get home, you are at home, but when we finish our Zoom service this morning, it might be a good idea for you to sit down and list the people you know in each of these headings, and you will be surprised at the amount of people that you have influence over as you list people from these four categories. So first of all, I want to go through these categories. Think about your friends. God has placed you at the center of a circle of influence with your friends. You have influence over your friends. The only question is, what kind of influence will that be? Think about your family. Think about your children, grandchildren, brothers, sisters, aunts, uncles, cousins, and generations not yet born. You have influence over them, whether you're an older brother or a younger sibling, you have influence. I want to give you a word of encouragement this morning, particularly to every parent or grandparent who's in pursuit of a godly life. A couple called Jonathan and Sarah Edwards were godly parents who set the course of their lives to honor Jesus Christ faithfully, and they gave careful attention to raising their children in this way. As a result, and as a consequence, now I know there's no guarantees as godly parents that we will automatically have godly children. That's the Lord. But nevertheless, we need to lay the foundations and the environment for that to happen. And that's what this couple did. And their descendants, as a consequence, included the following: one US vice president, three US senators, three governors, three mayors, 13 college presidents, 30 judges, 65 professors, 80 public office holders, 100 lawyers, and 100 missionaries. Friends, the influence of one godly mother, the influence of one godly father, has massive potential for good over generations to come. So God has placed you at the center of a circle of influence, whether you're a mother, a father, a grandparent, brother, aunt, cousin, in your family this morning, to have a positive influence there. So think about your friends, your family, then think about your work. God has placed you at the center of a sphere of influence there. Think of the people in your workplace. God has placed them in your sphere of influence. Some of you may teach, some of you may work in offices, some of you are in colleges, others are cleaners, others are carers, nurses, and so on and so on and so on. Think of the people in your workplace. Some of these folks, most of these folks, I would hazard a guess, are not Christians. And you may be the nearest they ever get to the light of Jesus Christ. You may be the only opportunity they get to see Jesus in their lives. So does it matter that your life shines in the workplace? Of course it does, because God has placed you at the center of a circle of influence in your workplace, and you matter. You're there for a reason. I became a Christian through the workplace. A Christian customer witnessed their faith to me in the workplace. And that was how I became a Christian. That was how my journey began. So think about your friends. Think about your family. Think about your workplace, the influence there. And finally, think about your church. God has joined us together in the body of Christ. We all need one another. We're all different, and we will all be in different seasons in our Christian walk. Some of us are full of joy. Some of us are quite hard to please. Some of us are full of faith. Some of us are full of doubts right now. What will your influence be? What will be the result of the conversations that you have with other adults in the church? What would your influence be over kids and youth that watch you and see how you act and the things that you say? They will be influenced. You have a responsibility, even whether you have children or not. You are spiritual parents. Kids and youth will watch the adults, and they will be influenced, and they will either be drawn to Jesus by what they see, or they will be put off. If that's what being a Christian is like, I don't want any of it, thank you very much. God has placed you at the center of a circle of influence in your church body, and your influence matters. Christians are desperately need to feel the heat of a life that is seriously devoted to Jesus Christ, and that will have an incredibly positive influence on those around you. Why should that not be you that has that positive influence? As we conclude this morning, I wonder who are you following? What will following Jesus Christ mean for you today? The first mark of a godly leader is that he or she is first a faithful follower of Jesus Christ. Leadership begins by learning to follow, first and foremost. So can you say today that Jesus Christ leads me in my life? Only Jesus knows where he will lead you. Only Jesus knows what he has in store for you. And you can be sure of this, there will be gifts of grace that will be mixed in with shattered dreams, intense pressures, and great sacrifices. And in a world of convenience, there are many people who are not interested in that kind of journey. They're looking for a God who will give them a comfortable life. But following Jesus will lead you to a cross, but it will not end there. Following Jesus will eventually lead you to glory. So Christ suffered as an example so that we may follow in his footsteps. He forgave people who wounded him so that we might do likewise. He reached out to serve even when in unbearable pain so that we might do likewise. He trusted God when he could not even feel his presence, and we're called to do likewise. And you say, I couldn't possibly do that, Mike. I couldn't. And you're right. You can't. But you can do it by his Holy Spirit living in you. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You cannot do this on your own. You cannot live the Christian life on your own. It's not in you to live like this. Left to yourself, you'll just settle into a Christian comfort zone, and the only people around and all the people around you will do the same, because that will be your influence. There's only one way to live this life. And Christ awakens the desire for this life in you. He gives this life to you, and he walks this path with you. He gives you his Spirit, and his Spirit convicts you of the things that matter to him, so that those things will matter to you. He wants to break. He wants what breaks his heart to break yours. Ask the Spirit of God to do that. Where he leads, he wants you to follow. If it's difficult, what he's asking you to do, ask the Spirit of God to enable you to follow. As you allow his Spirit to grow this likeness in you, you will discover that you are having a positive influence in those whom God has placed around you, both non-Christians and Christians alike. And that is my prayer for you this morning, that that will be your experience, that you will be people of influence in all those four areas: your friends, your family, your workplace, and your church. So I want us to respond now. I want to pause, and I want you to briefly just think for a moment of those four categories. Friends, think of friends that you may have coming to your mind even as we speak. And then think of your family, your family members, where God has placed you. Mums, dads, children, aunties, brothers, sisters, nephews, nieces, and so on. Think of your workplace, those who God has placed around you. And then think of your church family. You may want to do this in greater detail when you're on your own. You may want to write these names down. Take time out and write these names down under each heading. I want now, if it's what you would like, I want now to invite the Holy Spirit to give you a desire, if you haven't already got it, a desire to have a positive influence in the lives of these people that is placed around you. Holy Spirit, I confess to you this morning that I have not had the heart of Jesus for these people. I have not seen the fact that I have a huge responsibility and an influence over these people to point them to you or to point them away from you. Lord, give me a desire, even right now, to be a positive influence in the lives of those that you have placed around me. Come, Holy Spirit, and bring that to me now. Thank you. Now I want to continue praying by, we've asked for that desire, but now I want to ask the Spirit of God to empower and enable us to live a life of positive influence over these people's lives, because we can't do anything in our own strength. And whatever God asks of us, he always provides the means to achieve it. So Holy Spirit, as you impart a godly desire and as you give us hearts that breaks, that break in the way that your heart breaks, we ask that you will now empower us and enable us to live a life of positive influence over the lives of the people that you've placed around us. Come, Holy Spirit, and empower and enable me right now. Thank you, Lord. Come, invite him to do that. Thank you. We're going to continue as you continue to receive and allow the Spirit of God to minister to you. I'm going to play a response song to enable us to continue in that way right now.
And would you do another thing with me? Would you put your hand on your heart as we ask the Lord to break our hearts for what breaks his heart? Break my heart for what breaks yours. Everything I am for your kingdom's cause.
Father, we ask that as we go out this week and we mix with our friends, our family, our work colleagues, and our church family, that you will burn inside us, that you'll give us a heart that breaks your heart, hearts that seek to have a positive, godly influence to all those that you have placed around us, that we are leaders, ambassadors for you in wherever you have placed us. Lord, will you anoint us, enable and empower us, that we may be good ambassadors of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Friends, I have to dash. Lovely to see you. Jane is going to lead the breakout group with you now. Thank you, Jane, and hand over to you. Have a great rest of the day. Look forward to seeing you Wednesday or next week, God willing. Have a great rest of the day. Bye.
Okay, so anybody who wants to stay for a chat, I think we'll just stay in one big breakout group, actually, so that there aren't that many of us. So.